And recording. I'm gonna start. I started giving the shiur in shul again, which is where it belongs. It's Shabbos morning shiur. We just can't do Zoom on Shabbos, so we went to doing the Zoom on Friday. So this is Parsha Achrima Kedoshim. We look at the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim, and this was largely based on Elchanan Samet, who's a Rav at the Gush, a shir that he has. And the question is, are you allowed to place a stumbling block before the blind? And the answer is, Right. So we all know the answer, right? Because it's a stupid question, right? Because that's a pasuk in this week's Parsha, Lo Tegalel Cheresh, source one, don't curse the deaf, Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol, and before one who is blind, do not place a stumbling block, something that makes them stumble. You can't trip blind people. Don't do it. And you should fear God. I am the Lord. And similarly, I see what it didn't mean. Oh, it looks like Leah's computer is restarting. Similarly, in Devarim, when it has all this, the curses, it says explicitly, Arur Mishke Iver Baderach. Cursed is he who confuses a blind person on the way, but Markal Amen, everyone says Amen. So the answer, obviously, is no, you can't, but it's not really a stupid question because there are no stupid questions. But Rashi, based on the Sifra, doesn't pick the pasuk literally. What does Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol mean? Source 3. Someone who's blind in a particular issue. Don't give him bad advice. This is a metaphoric issue. You can't give bad advice to people. Can't tell somebody you should sell your land and buy donkeys. Donkey's a great investment. But to okay for love, and you're really literally circling around him. You're trying to fool him because you want to buy his land. That's what the issue is. And I'm going to read the Sifra inside in whole. Before the blind, thou shalt not place a stomach block. It's a metaphor for someone who doesn't know something, who is blind in a particular thing. Someone comes to you and says, and asks you, is this a good shidduch for my daughter? I'm a Kohen, it's about Kohen. Altamarlo Kasher, don't say it's a good idea, but he in and helps to and she's really not fit for a Kohen. Yeah, he'll figure it out, but he'll be wasting his time and he won't find a shidduch for his daughter. Uno tell me mcha itza, again it low, that if someone's asking your advice, don't give bad advice. Altamarlo tsebashkama, don't tell him you should leave early in the morning, knowing that he's going to get mugged. Let's say Bitzarayim would go in the afternoon, but Shiyoshitecharev, and you should leave in the afternoon. We know the weather is going to be terrible. He's going to die of heat stroke. Al Tomar, lo, and don't tell him, of course, and Chavakachachamar, but Toke Palov, no Tlaimenu, that's what Rashi quotes. Don't tell him, sell your land when you really want to get it from him. Shema Tomar, and if you're going to say, Etatavani Anita Notain Lo, you're going to say, well, I meant well, I thought it was a good idea. This is something that's in the heart. And so the pasuk says, Yireta melokecha ni Hashem, why does it add that? Because Hashem knows what you were really thinking. So you give me bad advice, you can't claim I meant well, because Hashem knows. So that's how Mara looks at what Rashi says. Gurayah is commenting. Rashi says that's why Rashi interprets metaphorically. Source 5. This is the Maral commenting on Rashi's comment. He's quoting the Sifra, the Kasha. And I have a tough time with this. Shemahuk Pshuto. Maybe I should mean this literally. That there's an issur of putting a block in front of someone who's blind. That's what the issur is. Yes, tomorrow I would answer Mishum Sefer Dekra because it's the end of the pasuk when it says Yireta Melekecha. When it says Fear God, Shalom Tamar Yireta Shalom Neamar Leis Melekecha El Davar Hamusur Lalev. That's referring to always something that's only known to you personally. It's in your own heart. God knows that. But the putting a literal stumbling block on a street, that's not only known to you. It's very obvious what you're doing. Blind person can figure out who put the stumbling block there. Other people saw it. Umakira Tobakol, he recognizes the voice. Gives bad, similar things. So we justify reading it metaphorically. And in fact, the Gemara extends this metaphor to the way that we usually mean the term Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol. Usually when we're quoting it, it's talking about you're not allowed to help somebody do an Avera. And nothing to do with whether they don't know it or not. Even if they're fully aware of it, they're not blind in any sense. They just want, they're going to do something that's wrong. You're not allowed to help them do that. V'tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer. Rabbi Natan says, Minayin shel yoshit adam kos yayin lenazir. How do you know that you shouldn't give a glass of wine to a nazir? He's taking a vow not to drink wine. And he says, can I have that? Can I have a taste of your wine? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't give it to him. And you shouldn't give Abraham ben Achai a piece of a live animal to a non-Jew who's forbidden to eat that. You shouldn't do that. Because before the blind, you should not place the stumbling block. Yeah, that's what the pasuk means. So what about the literal meaning? Is that itself forbidden? That's not bad advice. It's not causing someone else to sin. I'm making someone else trip. Am I allowed to do that? Spoiler alert, the answer is no. Okay, don't rush out there and do that. But Art Scroll in their Chumash actually adds that in brackets, okay? So they put in brackets, in addition to literal meaning, the verse means allegorically that one should not give bad advice to an unsuspecting person, particularly if the advisor stands to benefit from Rashi. And they're being honest because it's in brackets. That's an editorial addition. Rashi doesn't say anything of the literal meaning. Because the literal meaning is problematic. Because taking psukim literally without using the interpretation of Torah Shebaal Peh is the hallmark of the heterodox Jewish sects, the Karaim, the Tzedukim, etc. And in fact, the Gemara mentions that about our pasuk. Talking about Kutim, Samaritans, who were kind of sort of Jewish. They were the people who came in after the 10 tribes were exiled, and they adopted. They have a Torah, and this community is still in Israel. They bring sacrifices on Har Gerizim outside Shechem. And the Mishnah says Kutim ne'amanim lomar karvena. That the Kutim says that there's a grave here, but there's not a grave there. We believe them in terms of Tumah. We say we believe them because Torah talks about Tumah all the time and they take the Torah literally. And the Gemara objects, Palet Lehu Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol. And the Gemara objects, wait a minute, they may believe it, but they don't believe in this whole idea of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol because it literally means don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. They don't take this metaphoric meaning of don't help other people sin. That's Rashi. That we believe them to say, here's where the barrier was. Because things that are in the Torah, Tumat Met is something that's in the Torah, and they keep that seriously.
I'm here, sorry.
Hi, welcome back.
Hi. Oh, thank you.
We're talking about Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol.
Okay.
Which means what?
Don't place us. For a blind person, do not place a stumbling block.
Right. So the question is, are you allowed to place a stumbling block in front of a blind person?
Because like literally.
So the halacha is that it refers to not helping someone else do an avera.
This brings back a lot of memories about my entrance thing to block where Rabbi Monk put a chumash in front of me and said, read this pasuk. And I was like trying to translate Lifnei Iver and never heard of the concept before. And I'm like, I just remember that. Sorry, it brings back bad memories. But I got in. Okay.
So this is a traumatic event. If it's too triggering for you, you can step back if you'd like.
That's okay.
But the Kutim take it literally, as Rashi says, Lo darshi le b'machateas kavera. They don't understand the pasuk of Lifnei Iver as referring to someone who's helping someone else sin. They don't care if someone else sins. So they may take Tuma seriously, but they may well lie to us if we ask them, where is the burial? Similarly, Rashi and Chulin is talking about Shechita, and the Kutim Evelin Holb do Shechita, and we're allowed to give an ounce to them for Shechita as long as we're watching. That's Gemara and Chulin Afil Kuti. We can give an animal to a kuti and ask them to shecht it. The mitzvah she'haziku ba, because kutim keep that mitzvah shechita. Aval Yisrael yotzei v'nechnas. But you need to have a Jew who's a mashgiach who's at least yotzei v'nechnas, coming and going there. Lo yimzer lo shochet. That if not, you can't, if you don't have, if the Israel has, it needs to be permanently there, if he's going in, coming, going, then you shouldn't give him the animal. Even though they take shechita seriously, and they will only eat meat that's been shechted, they don't care if they feed it to a Jew, or presumably to another kuti as well. They take the pasuk literally. You can't put a rock in the path of a blind person to make him trip. That's what the pasuk means. Nothing to do with not harming someone who is figuratively blind. And this idea that Arts Girl has about, that we're going to say, the literal meaning is also true. That doesn't come up to the Achronim. Okay? Gemara never mentions it at all, except in a negative way by the Kutim. Rishonim never mention it. The Sifrei Mitzvot never mention it. It's not there. The Achronim, and I'm going to quote the Torah Tamima here. If you want to look at the Milchas Kinoch or the Meshech Chachmar, it's similar. The Torah Tamima. Hineyam of Farshim Pershu, that all the commentators explain. V'lachein hotziya Torah Hanim, that the Sifra takes at a pasuk mipashtei, the Sifra doesn't take it literally. V'chena Gemara, Gemara 2, b'chol d'rashot ha'ba'uluf ha'nene ba'zen, every drash of Gemara takes this figuratively. Da'er machatiyu machshil t'kaveiro, that it refers to someone who causes or abets someone else's sin. Machshil t'kaveiro ba'aveiro, with the sin. V'lo airi, the mesim tzur michshol l'iver enayim al darko. It doesn't have anything to do with putting a rock in the way of someone who's blind, who can't see. Shekinu da tzedukim, k'muvar b'nida, because that's the opinion of the tzedukim. As we said, so we're going to reject that explanation of the pasuk. B'li nira, it appears to me, says the Torah, Tzmima, Baruch Epstein, v'emet en hadrashot motziyot kavanat hakatuv mipashta, that the truth is that on this drash of machatiyat chaveiro, causing someone else to sin, doesn't take the pasuk out from its original pshat. But the mosifim, it adds on to it. Mosifot, rather. Shigam inyanei michshol v'avera gam ken klum b'zeh. To say, it doesn't just mean you can't trip blind people, but also it has this idea of not causing other people to stumble in sin. Mishum de mali michshol magufu michshol nefesh. Because I'm going to say, stumbling in the physical sense and the spiritual sense, it's the same thing. But came into Matsinu, the same Iver, and since we see throughout Tanakh the term Iver, blind, referring not just to someone who literally can't see, but also someone who is spiritually blind, someone who doesn't understand. Mora al Iver Naim, someone who's blind, but al Iver Sechel, someone doesn't understand. Lachain kol pasuk kulam, therefore I would read this pasuk as including both the literal and the figurative meaning. So this is what the Tzedukim say. That's their difference. Shem Farshim, the Kai Rak al Mechshol Aguf. That they say, no, it refers only to physically causing people to stumble. Below Mechshol Nefesh, and not spiritually. V'gamnira de Hechrek Tzoklomar, Pasuk Kolel Gama Tzivui Kibashta. And I have to say that I can't read it any other way. It has to include the Pshat. Because we have a principle that the text never leaves its pshat. The pshat understanding of the pasuk is always applicable. an important principle in understanding the Torah. Then we have the drash, that's chazal, that's the Torah Sheval Peh. We have the pshat, which is the way we'd read the pasuk.
That's kind of like what Lior was saying about the drash here, right?
Say it one more time. Lior was saying about what?
That's like kind of, but remember Lior was talking about Shira Shirim?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that because I think that's exactly what Shira Shirim is not.
Oh, okay.
Good point. Okay, because I'm gonna go with the Rambam. Okay, I have something to rely on. Let's look at where the Rambam puts it. This is Sefer Mitzvot, Lo Taaseh, Reish Tzadi Tet 299, and here's what the Rambam says. Hizir hamachshil katzatino katzatino. The Torah warns us against causing some of us causing others to stumble. And what does that mean? If someone asks your opinion on something, and then we fool them, we entice them to do the wrong thing. And this warning comes to fool him, and to cause him to stumble in the sense of the Eitzah, that's the Sifra. Remember, don't give bad advice. But say things straight to him. Tell him what you honestly think is the right answer. That's why the pasuk says, "Lifnei iver lo titein mechshol." That's lifnei iver. Don't give bad advice. Lav zeh kolel gamkin, and this lav includes the concept of mishi yazor al aveira o yisuvevota. Someone helps someone else do a sin or causes that sin. That's the Gemara's lifnei iver. Rim rabim ma'od mizeh hamin. And lots of things in this concept, Yomru Bahen, and the Gemara goes in. Lots of things have been said about Lifnei Iver. Can you invite someone who's not from to your Shabbos? That's one of those things that comes up all the time. Can I give food to someone who's not going to say a bracha? That's all over Mishum Lifnei Iver L'Tein Mechshol. Two concepts. Then he ends. U'pashtei Dekra, and the Pshat of the Pasuk, K'mosh Zachanu Techila, is the first meaning. Okay, pshat is don't give advice. So the answer to our question, though, before we explain that, is you cannot put a literal stumbling block in front of a blind person. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. But it's not based on our pasuk. That's what you need to realize. It's based on the pasuk. It comes in Devarim. Ki tivneh bayit chadash vasita makel gagecha. When you build a house, you have to put a railing around the roof, around your porch. And you shall not allow the blood to be placed in your house, because the one who will fall, someone who will fall from it. You can't allow people to get hurt on your property. So this is the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvot, Lo Taaseh Reish Tzadi Tet, the previous Lo Taaseh. His hinu l'maniach hamokshim v'hamechsholot. We are forbidden from placing Mokesh, traps, damaging things, and stumbling, things that will cause one to stumble, stumbling blocks. Bartzenu in the land, Ratena in our houses, Kedishlo Yemut Behem Bnei Adam, but people, no one should die from that. Amra Lotasim Damim Bebetecha. That's the source of this. Don't put a stumbling block before the blind, the literal one. Lashon Sifrei, Basita Maka Mitzvah Asay, and the Sifrei says there's an Asay of putting the railings up. Lo tasim damim, and then the lo tasay is don't allow anyone to be injured. Ukvar hidbaru mishpatei mitzvah zu, and we've explained all this mitzvah, b'perek alf mishkalim, b'seder nizikin, that you can look in the Yad HaChazaka, explain all this laws of damage of nizikin up there. Okay, so Rambam reads the Sifra about don't give bad advice as the pshat. And the Gemara, which says don't help someone else sin, that's the second one. That's the drush. That's the Torah Sheval Peh. There's no halachic place for literal meaning. The truth is you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, but it's based on a different law, which is a general rule of lo tasim damim beveitecha. Don't allow someone else to be injured. Don't do anything to cause other people to injure themselves. So if Sumet makes the point that teaches us what pshat means. Because pshat doesn't mean the literal meaning of the text. That's what Rashi says is mashma'o, right? I think he's that word somewhere up here. The mashma'ut means the literal meaning. The mashma'ut of l'fnei iver l'tein mechshol, if you're having your block entrance test, means before the blind, thou shalt not place a stumbling block. Okay? Pshat is the other, right? Pshat is what I would call, pshat means literally the unadorned, the strip. The unadorned meaning the text. It's how you would read the text without knowledge of Torah Shalopeh. If you didn't know what the halachas were, how would I read what the text says? But you still know poetics. You still know about metaphors and symbolism. So metaphor is still part pshat.
Oh, it's like Gura Rashi says Gura Mamash. Is that kind of the idea?
The Yad Mamash.
Yad Mamash, I mean.
Right. That's part of the same idea, is that we can say that there's like figurative language and literal language within any book, anything, without invoking Torah Shema Peh. Right, all that literary analysis. Yeah?
Yeah, that's all diary.
Yeah? I can't hear you. I lost you, Janet.
I don't know.
I see your name, but I don't hear what you're saying.
Seriously.
I keep going.
Type it in the chat.
Yeah, you can put a chat in there if you want to ask a question if your audio is not working. Okay, and the fact that pshat isn't literal is obvious from Pasuk 2, Pasukim down, right? It says in the Parsha, Lo telech rachil ba'mecha, don't bear tales for your land. Lo tamod al dam riacha.
Yeah.
What is that? Right? You have to read that metaphorically. There's no one's going to ever going to read this and saying, I can't stand on blood, right? You're injured, you have a cut, I can give you badly, but I got to make sure I watch where I put my feet. Okay, cool. Shot on that is everyone would say means don't stand idly by when someone else is hurt.
Even lo telech rachil ba'mecha, because you're not, it doesn't, the iser isn't go, don't be a peddler, go take your card and go around selling things,
that's,
I assume.
Right. So that, you know, there's a line between metaphor and figurative language. And so I might argue that rachil here is figurative, it's a dead metaphor. We talked about that. That one of the definitions of rachil is groomers bearing tails in addition to peddling.
Oh, okay.
It's a spectrum there. At what point is it meant to be poetic and, you know, have the original meaning in your mind? At what point is it typically a new definition?
Okay.
But on that spectrum, Rotamar Adam Rayacha is clearly not meant to be literal. And the other example is tefillin, which makes it very interesting, right? What does the pasuk say? Ot al yadcha uzikron ben einecha. If you sign upon your hand and a mortal between your eyes, Matia Torah Hashem b'ficha, so the Torah should be in your mouth at all times. You should remember that Hashem took you out of Egypt. So how would you read that as Pesha? The Rashbam, we should have that as a source rather than says specifically, very clearly, and I think he makes a good case, that Ot Ayadcha is metaphoric. In terms of pshat, if I didn't know there was a halacha of tefillin, I'd never seen tefillin in my life, I didn't know what the Torah Shabbat Pes said, I would have said that means remember it. Keep it close by. That's a rashba. The depth of pshat, understand what pshat here is, yelacha zikaron tamid, you should remember it always. Like it's written in your hand. And he brings examples from Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, similar examples. Samini kechotam alibecha. Place me as a sign upon your heart, as a seal upon your arms. Right, clearly there, Shir HaShirim is metaphoric. And that answers Liora's question as well, that I think the right way to read pshat in Shir HaShirim is as metaphor. That the mashma'ut is real, and it's worth knowing what the words mean, but reading it simply that way is not reading pshat.
Not what someone intended.
That it was written as metaphor, right? It's part of Tanakh as metaphor. You know, he's using, you know, I'm going to assume it was quoting love songs from, you know, that were contemporary, that, you know, hit the top charts in Israel in 1000 BCE. But as the text that we have in Tanakh, it is metaphor. And I read it as pshat as metaphor.
So you wouldn't read poetry that has metaphors in it and say the author meant exactly what the metaphor said. You would say the author meant what the metaphor meant.
Right, right. And you need to say both. And that is what I mean by pshat, is that that's how I would read it, being a good reader without the Torah Shema Pen. Drash is with the Torah Shema Pen, pshat is without.
Interesting.
There's a place for pshat, right? The Mikra is lo yetzei mipshuto. It's worth knowing that. But yes, halacha is the drash, not pshat. But question is, what's pshat? So we're reading our pasuk. Question is, what is pshat? Or, you know, how do we read our pasuk here? Do I read it as being this poetic statement about metaphoric blind people? But the idea with that, so that in, by tefillah specifically, Rosh, what I'm saying is that
everybody could be a blind person.
Yes, we all have our blind spots, metaphorically.
No, I'm saying if somebody's trying to cheat you, you don't know that.
Yes. And that's what we're learning. That's what this issur is. Don't be the person, don't take advantage of someone else's blindness, metaphoric blindness. So, and I'll just finish with the feeling that the irony from where you understand it is that Rashbam's arguing that pshat is the metaphor and the drush is the literal meaning of put these boxes on your arm and between your eyes. Which is exactly the opposite of the way we often think about pshat and drush, but remember that's not what the words are implying when you're looking at that. So Rav Samek looks at our pasuk and says there are four levels of increasing abstraction. How do we understand the word Iver? One is completely literal. Iver means someone who's blind. Okay, someone who's literally has no way to see, cannot see, and that's the tzedukim, that you can't be seen. Tzur mechshol le'iver einayim. Someone, you can't put a rock in front of someone who is literally blind. The second level is a little, reads Iver a little more figuratively, but not quite as a metaphor, someone who doesn't see at that moment. They're not paying attention. So he says that's what Unklus is saying. The Tagum Unklus in our Pasuk is Lo Talut de Lo Shema, don't curse someone who does not hear. The Kadam de Lo Chazi, and before someone who does not see, Lo Tasim Takla, don't put anything that would hurt them. The Kam Lo Kach, and fear God, and Hashem, I'm the Lord. So the Lo Chazi, one who does not see, is the term that Unklus uses, even though in general, when you're talking about a literal blind, someone who has a physical disability and can't see, for instance, next week's parashah about mums, Kloshe b'mum li'krav ish iver, a kohen who's iver, who's blind, can't do the avoda. The Aramaic word is avir. So by saying lo chazi, means someone who right now isn't seeing, which I reminded those metal bumpy strips at intersections that everyone has now.
Wait, at an intersection? Yeah, you mean like when you're about to cross, like on the sidewalk?
Yeah, the sidewalk, there's a ramp, and yeah, they put bumpy strips, which for me, who runs in those barefoot shoes, it always hurts. But they're called warning strips. They're not
on steps, they have them.
On steps?
Yeah.
Sometimes
getting to the edge of a step.
Yes. But I realize it's not for blind people. There aren't that many. It's for all of us, because we're all walking around with our phones, staring at our phones and playing our games, and we're not paying attention. And if it wasn't for the fact that there was something on the ground in front of me, I would walk right off the sidewalk, right into the street. I am a delochazi. That's that next level of abstraction of the Iver.
So someone not looking at the time.
Right. So that's also, you can't, don't do that. Again, that's still taken pretty literally in terms of the stumbling part. The third level of abstraction is the sifra, which is he don't give advice. Iver means someone who doesn't understand. That's the blind spot, if I would say. We all have our blind spots. We don't know something and get bad advice. So the Rambam is saying that's pshat the pasuk. Pshat is this metaphoric sense of that someone who doesn't know. And the fourth level of abstraction is the Gemara, which is Iver, someone who is about to sin, even if they're fully aware. They're not, this. It's hard to say that they're blind, right? The Nazir, who's taken a vow not to drink, and you can extend this to alcoholics on Alcoholics Anonymous, knows full well that he's asking you for a drink. Your job is to say no. you can't help. That the Iver here, the blindness is in the, not understanding the depth of, not understanding what they're supposed to do. And Rambam says that that's the drush, that's the lotas say of Yazor Aveira, there's a lotas say, do cannot abet, you can't help someone else in sin, and because I'll tie it to our pasuk, that's what drush means. So this is a drush in the pasuk.
So is that where like the interpretation of in terms of Kolisha, like a woman technically doesn't have an obligation not to sing, but because it's the men's obligation not to listen, but it's the same.
I've not heard that, but I assume that's what it is, right? It's that last level of I can't allow someone else to do the wrong thing, even if they want to.
Right.
So now I'm going to go back. I think that's fascinating. Of course, it tells us about Pshat, and it's worth knowing that. But we're going to end with the way he understands why we emphasize in the metaphoric interpretation. And we're saying, no, we're not going to accept the literal meaning. Again, the literal meaning is true. I can't do it, but that's not where I get it from a different puzzle. This puzzle, I want to learn metaphorically. So this is some way Semet puts it. Kipshu Chazal parshanut metaphorit lemunachim shepapasuk. That Chazal looked for metaphoric meanings to the terms in the pasuk of iver and michshel, blind and stumbling. As a function of this, mashmut shonet hamit kabbalat leisur, a different understanding of what this isur is. Al kol panim zeh chidush. So this is the novelty here. She asur adam lavi nezek al reihu. Yanim gashmim aruchanim, they can't cause damage to someone else. Spiritual, physical matters, b'shum te'onah, b'shum tzorach, for any cause or any reason, whatever my justification might be. Ha'parshanut metaphoric shel Chazal, the metaphoric reason of Chazal, gibia efo, it elevates, therefore, mashmuta isur, it elevates the isur, miramaton mucha, from the, if you read it literally, it's a pretty low level thing. I'll be upshot immediately. Reading it literally, it's Ramak Ponel et Sibur, because the idea that I would need to remind someone they can't go tripping blind people. I mean, that's just mean. Why would you do that? If we're giving standard examples of things, that's why we learn from the example of putting a railing around the deck. That's something that I can expect to happen, so therefore I can extend that to other places I'm going to hurt somebody. I assume we're not the kind of society that goes around tripping blind people, right? And taking it literally, it says that Hashem is worried about this. Ramat Ponet, let's see, it looks like that we're looking at a community, a chashur that would be suspected, sadistit, in such a sadistic behavior, shpala v'yaldutit, low and childish. It just doesn't fit. No, the Torah gives examples of things that are real. Cows goring. That happens with people who have cows. Now it elevates it to a much higher level. Yichud al perush Rabbi, especially on this fourth way of looking at it with the drash, kiamet midat arvut shel am makablei Torah. It emphasizes the nature of arvut. Where is Kol Yisrael Arvim b'lazeh, we guarantee to each other? This is where it comes from. I am responsible for your spiritual health. I cannot allow you to sin. Right? It's part of the same kedoshim to you, which hocheach tochiach. I need to rebuke someone else. But he adds, arvut shel amak b'kabbalat Torah b'yachas l'kol adam. We're connected to everyone else. Afilu l'goy. From the Gemara gives the example of giving Eivor Menachai to a non-Jew. I can't do that either. I have a sense of obligation to everyone, not just other Jews. I can't help them. And when he seeks, when the other person seeks to do something wrong. A person is not allowed to say to himself, why do I care about somebody else? Why do I have to ruin my relationship with them by refusing to help them? Lo kenes, that's not true at all. Achapetz lavor avera, someone who wants to do an avera, iveru, is blind in this sense. You can't help them. No. And you cannot help him that he will stumble in his blindness. And we don't have this general sense in modern Western liberalism. The classical meaning of the word liberal, meaning free. Everyone does their own thing. I don't care about anybody else. We don't. That's not really part of the Jewish tradition. There is a moral obligation, a deep moral obligation. We are responsible for everyone else. And that's what this pasuk tells us. And I think that...
Danny, I just want to add one thing there, though. Yeah. When you go to Western thought, it's the idea that we say in Judaism, everybody has free will. So while we may decide, let's say, you know, eating a tray of hamburger is a sin, if I say that to somebody who doesn't keep kosher, they'll think I'm trying to force my values on them.
Right. So within Judaism, you should push at least a little bit. This idea is I can't help him do that. I may not be obligated to knock the hamburger out of his hand, but I can't give him the hamburger.
No, but I'm saying, like, when they come to your house, of course you're going to serve them a kosher hamburger.
Right.
But if you're out and about in the world and they're walking into McDonald's, let's say, can you say to them, don't go to McDonald's?
I think the answer is you should, that it needs a judgment call. The answer is you should tell them that if they're going to listen.
Yeah.
But the other side of that here is that you shouldn't be working at McDonald's serving non-kosher hamburgers to Jews. You know it's wrong. You should not be giving it to them. Even if you're not responsible to go grab it from them and make them make the right decision, you are responsible enough to not help them out. That's the Fnei Iver. All right, I should not be selling my McDonald's hamburgers to Jews who are forbidden. I shouldn't be selling Abram and Achai to non-Jews. If you think it's wrong, then you should not be helping someone else do it as well. That's different from stopping them, holding them down, forcing them not to. But this is the thing, Iver, is don't actually help them to do it.
I feel like this is a source of Jewish guilt. Like,
Jewish.
You, like we're saying, it's like, Ashomer Achi Anochi. Like, it's more than just that, like, you are responsible for other people's behavior. And that's like a tremendous. I think that's very anti-Western, like you were saying, you know, like you're responsible for yourself. And this is saying, like, actually, you're also responsible for other people.
Okay. I mean, it's a little bit weaker than that. I mean, Hochech Tochiach goes a little further. You know, I am supposed to tell them, this is, I can't help you, right? You're asking me for help in doing this thing wrong. I can say, no, this is the wrong thing to do. It's not quite the pushing, I need to impose this on everybody else. And there's a balance there. And that's the part of the meaning here, because the whole parsha of Kedoshim Tiyu is all, as Rashi says, we lost Janet again. Have you prushim, right? I have to be separate. Kedosh means separate. It's separate from Arayos and Marvera, but I can't be Kedoshim by cutting yourself off. And you have to care to other people that's after the Reach Kamocha. Both of those things, it's a dialectic. Both of them are true. I need to be other people, but I need to be separate from the wrong things they're doing there. And how do I do that? How do I balance that? Because the giving, as Janet said, giving people the right to make their own decisions is important as well. So we talk about Torah being sheer, it's poetry, right? It uses metaphor because the nature of poetry is to communicate emotion, communicate things that are impossible to express in words, but we have to express them in words because we don't have any other way to communicate. So we use all this indirect way of feeling. So the dry details are in Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat, and this is how Kuberman says this a lot, is the purpose of Pshat is to tell sort of the spiritual meaning of the halacha, the Tamei Mitzvot. And the metaphor of the Iver, with Tein Mechshol, like Lotamar Adam Reyecha, don't stand idly by. It's metaphoric because it helps us feel that way. That doing something wrong, you know, allowing someone else to sin is just as mean and childish as tripping a blind person on the street. Right? We're all connected. Anything else is, as Rav Samet says, Shpei Labi Yaldu Tit. And this is where Rav Samet concludes. Adam Savor, a person may think, She'en Huachrai Al Bechiratach of Shichal Chavera. That's what you just said. You want to think that you're not responsible for someone else's free choice. I definitely lost that. I'm sorry. Metaphor medameh masim elu, but the metaphor here connects those kind of actions where we just say, you can do whatever you want, and I'll help you do whatever you want. L'mash muvabo ofan amiluli connects it in our minds to the literal meaning. Masim elu, these kinds of things yishem sad shavela lachshut iver b'kamash ma'al. It's like tripping a blind person. Literally, with a stomach block right in front of you. There are levels of blindness. And tripping a metaphoric blind person is the same in your mind. The purpose of the metaphor is to connect those images in your mind, like tripping a blind person. The purpose of the text, the Torah, the metaphoric way of looking at it, is to feel the halakha not only with the mind, with your hearts as well, really feeling it and feeling that sense of connection. So yes, you're responsibility for everybody else, and don't go tripping blind people. Okay, it's a bad idea.
Yay. Fascinating. Thank you.